We're now into level number 6, and level number 6 is the sophisticated investor. A sophisticated investor can afford to seek more aggressive investment strategies, number 1, because they have good cash flow management skills. A sophisticated investor does not diversify. He or she is very focused. A sophisticated investor is very aware of tax laws, corporate laws, and business laws. What many people fail to realize is that most of your money is made in what the layperson calls the loophole. And what the sophisticated investor knows is the way that real money is really made. So a sophisticated investor then has the ability to read financials, as well as probably has a very good team of accountants and attorneys in a way of structuring the deal so that they maximize their returns. And a lot of times, the average investor says, I'm going to buy a stock at 50 and it's going to go to 100, so I've made $50. A sophisticated investor is not concerned with the capital gains. A sophisticated investor is concerned with the cash flow and how much of that money can flow from the investment into his or her pocket with as least interference with taxes as possible. And those are some of the things a sophisticated investor knows that the other person doesn't know. Another thing this level of investor understands is the volatility of the market. In other words, if the stock prices are going up, they're happy. And if the stock prices crash or the real estate prices crash, they're also happy. Because a sophisticated investor is also a technical investor. And what a technical investor is somebody like George Soros. And he runs hedge funds. He is known for the quantum fund. Whereas Warren Buffett is a fundamental investor, Soros is a technical investor. The average investor is really doing technical investing. When you say, what's the price of a stock? They say it's 10 bucks. Well, will it go to $100? That's really a technical type of trade. The problem with the average investor is they don't have the technical skills. So a sophisticated investor has multiple skills. The reason I created Cashflow 202 is to teach technical investing skills. 101 is the fundamental skills that Buffett has. 202 is the technical skills that Soros has. So what happens is if a stock is at $50, and you expect it to go to 100, a sophisticated investor will not buy the stock at $50. A sophisticated investor will buy an option to buy the stock at $50. That's their way of leveraging their money so they can make more money. If the stock goes from 50 to 100, then their cost per unit, their ROI, is a lot higher than having to buy, let's say, 1,000 shares at $50. That's $50,000. For $50,000, they might be able to buy 100,000 shares. And so those are the things that a sophisticated investor understands. Now, when the price goes to 100, the average investor panics and goes, oh, my God, it's going to crash, it's going to crash. So they start selling. And if one starts to panic, then a lot of times other people panic. Or people sell, and the price goes up again. You know, have you seen that? People go, oh, I'm afraid it's going to go down. So they sell too early, and the price goes from 100 to 200. A sophisticated investor, if they have this fear come up that the price might go from 100 back to 50, instead of selling, what they'll buy is what's called a put option, which means they have the right to buy it back at a better price if necessary. So those are the types of mental skills or mental tools that a sophisticated investor has. If the price is at 100 and they don't know if it's going to up or down, they may straddle it, which means they'll buy a call option as well as a put option. So no matter which way it goes, it's going to make money, and all it costs is a little option money. The reality is most options expire out of, then nothing happens, so they just, but they don't waste that much money. They have huge gains. Another tool a sophisticated investor has called a short. In other words, a stock is at $100 and they're afraid it might go to 50, they might short a stock. And this is what makes most average investors crazy, because an average investor at that time will say, what do you mean short a stock? And a short means you sell shares that you don't own. And that's, talk about the nothing down deal of all nothing down deals. So here you are, you have no money in the market, XYZ stock's at 100. So you go to the broker and you say, would you mind shorting that stock for me? And what that means is they take somebody else's stock, Joe Blow's stock, they sell 1,000 shares at $100. So you now have 100,000 in your account and you owe Joe Blow X number of shares. If the stock price drops, then you, let's say it drops to $50, then you buy back those shares with the $100,000 that you sold of somebody else's stock, and you give Joe Blow back his stock. So what you're doing is literally making money with nothing. And that's why when somebody says, well, man, it takes money to make money, I'm going, well, because you don't know how to play the game. So that's why I created 202. It's a very, very sophisticated game. You have to understand the fundamentals first, which is 101. And 202 will teach you the technical trading skills. And the reason you want with paper money, with play money, should I say, because to make those mistakes, I've shorted a stock and it went up. It was one of the most painful days of my life. Because not only do you have to buy it back, you have to buy it back with money you don't even have. I tell you, that learning experience was priceless because it really woke me up. And all it did was inspire me to learn more. And that's what my rich dad taught me, and that's what I folded into these board games, so that you can practice and practice and practice. You understand some of the reverse thinking logic of the investment market. So if I could summarize a sophisticated investor, they have great personal cash flow management fundamental skills. They understand the fundamentals of investing. They also understand how to handle volatility, the ups and downs, some of the more technical, i.e. shorts, calls, straddles, put options in the market. But also the big difference is because they're very good, hopefully they're very good, they will not diversify. Diversification is an investment strategy of the average, and I highly recommend it if you want to remain an average investor. But to become rich, you have to be smarter than the average dog in the woods out there. Because as I said, the game is not played, let's play win-win here. It is a game of winners and losers out there. And if you're second best, you're the loser out there. And so that's why for those who want to play the game to become very, very rich, which goes back to the original assumption, are you investing to become secure, comfortable, or rich? Secure and comfortable, it's okay to diversify. In fact, it's recommended you diversify. But to become rich, you've got to be smart, you've got to be focused, and you take a very narrow, narrow look at the marketplace. The reality on money, there's an 80-20 rule that was formed in the 1890s, and it's a quite general economic rule. But when it comes to the rule of being rich, it's the 90-10 rule. And what that rule means is that to become rich, and I mean that $1 million or more passive cash flow, it's a 90-10. In other words, you have to be in the 10% to make 90% of the money. And the 90-10 rule is true in almost all the way across the board. 10% of the golfers make 90% of the money. 10% of the movie stars make 90% of the money. 10% of the network marketers make 90% of the money. 10% of the investors make 90% of the money. In fact, the Wall Street Journal in September of 1999 came out with a very startling fact, is that in spite of the millionaire next door and millionaire shoeshine boys and all and millionaire barbers, what it said was that the fact remains 10% of the richest in America still own 90% of all the shares in America. So the ratio of 90-10 is exactly the same. So if you want to play the game, that's why you have to focus. To win the game, you need to be in the top 10% to make 90% of the money, which is why I say dream big but start small. I have a friend of mine. He is the 10% in 15 city blocks. In other words, he found 15 city blocks. He travels no further than that, but he controls 90% of that real estate in that 15 city block. So that's why for the average investor, diversification works. But if you want to be rich, you have to focus. That's why Starbucks, they focus on a cup of coffee, and they're the best in the cup of coffee world. McDonald's is the best in the average hamburger world. And that's why to be rich, you need to be in the top 10%, which means focusing, because that way you take 90% of the money. And that's one of the financial principles. So regardless of what business you're in, you can find a niche. As a businessman right now, I'm in a niche in some of the smallest oil companies, some of the smallest mining companies, some of the smallest real estate companies, and I'm growing them. But that's my niche. You take a small niche and you make it big. That's why I say you dream big, start small, think small, have good fundamentals, and make it grow to becoming a huge asset. So the seventh level of investor is called the capitalist. And I love that level the most. My rich dad asked me to study hard and practice and go through the training program so I could ultimately become a capitalist. And what's the difference between a capitalist and everybody else? Somebody said, well, it's a capitalist and communist. Very simply, a capitalist is so good at what he or she does that what people do is they give them money to do what he or she does. In other words, Warren Buffett is such a great investor that people will gladly part with their money to give it to him, so he invests with their money. So that's why when somebody says to me, it takes money to make money, that has not been my experience. If you're really, really good at what you do, i.e. Steven Spielberg's, because they know this guy is very good at what he does. And the same as investing. When you find somebody who's a hot-handed trader, they don't need any money. People will throw money at them to do their deals with them. So the ultimate goal of becoming financially literate and financially intelligent and taking the time to study the tax laws, corporate laws, and all this is to get to the point where you don't need to use your own money. In fact, all you need to do is create and think, and people will give you money to do things. For example, when I announce I'm about to start another company, people literally line up to give me money because I have a track record. Now, it doesn't mean we always make money. And the same thing in writing a book. Many authors say, what is your secret to becoming a great author? I said, because I'm a capitalist at it. I look at writing a book not as an author. I look at writing a book as a business owner. That, in other words, if I don't think I can make some money selling this book, why would I write the book? And the reality is, and again, it's 10% of the authors make 90% of the money. And the reason is a mindset, different side, the left side of the quadrant and the right side of the quadrant. So a capitalist is very simply somebody who is so good at what he or she does, they have the ability to use other people's time, i.e. they hire people or people will volunteer to work for them, or other people's money. And the reason people like people like this because they have one major skill, and that skill is the ability to take money and make money with it. The average person, because they've not been educated this way, takes money and turns cash to trash. And that's why people don't give them money, because if people don't trust you to manage money, money will run away from you. Money stays away from you. But if you know how to take money or care for it and make it grow, that attracts more and more money. So the more money, the more able, or what's called being a good steward, the more your financial intelligence is, the easier and easier it is to not only make more money, but to attract more money. Now, I know to many people the word capitalist is bad as the word communist to some people, but if I could explain something about the two systems. A communist system is fundamentally devoid of a capitalist, and what a capitalist does is somebody who knows how to own businesses or make money with money. So the communist says those guys are bad, and so they ban capitalists. And what happens then, the government then says, we will build all the houses and we will control all the industry. And we all know what has happened to communism. It has basically failed because it was a system designed to not exploit the worker, and which is a good idea. I'm not saying it's good or bad. But the problem is, as we know, most bureaucrats really do not know how to run a business. And, you know, from Wall Street, Gordon Gekko said, greed is good. Well, there's good and bad to greed. And so if you incentivize somebody to go out there and make money in healthy ways, then they do a lot of good. For instance, a lot of people didn't like Henry Ford, but his mission statement was democratize the automobile. In other words, he wanted to make the automobile available to everyone. And that's what he did. It raised the standard of living for everybody. It made his workers rich. It provided jobs, provided taxation, and America boomed because of the capitalist. A man named Thomas Edison was also a capitalist. He formed a company called General Electric, and also another school dropout, by the way. Ted Turner is another school dropout. Is, you know, CNN, and he became one of the most respected news reporters throughout the world. CNN is allowed into countries where other news reporters are not allowed to go. And again, they provide jobs. So the tax breaks I receive are because the government incentivizes me to, number one, provide jobs, and number two, provide housing. And that's why the tax laws are written in favor of the rich. And that's why it says Rich Dad's Greatest Secret was it was a no-lose world, because even if you lost, they'd allow you to write those losses and use it as an advantage to them. So for the people willing to take risks, like the business owners and the investors who put their money, or people who build businesses or build houses, the government really, in a capitalistic society, really wants the B and the I to do what they do best, i.e. build businesses and build houses, so the government doesn't have to do it. In communist countries, they don't do it. So all the rules, from my point of view, the tax laws, and I love the tax laws because the tax laws are fundamentally written to make you become rich. And the people who lose are the people who take the point of view that you need job security, you got to play it safe, and don't take risk, or I'm going to do it on my own because I don't trust anybody. And for people like that, the government will not write incentives for, because they don't do that much for that many people. So I do know that the capitalist, especially in the educational system that I grew up in, my poor dad's fundamental idea was that the capitalist exploited people. And that may be true, but the capitalist also did a lot of good to raise the standard of living. Today, all you need is fundamentally a computer and a modem to hook up to a telephone line, and you're hooked up into the biggest world market possible. So it's your ideas relative to capitalism and all this, you know, the rich and the good and the bad and spirituality and all that, what I call the dogma of whatever you grew up in, is fundamentally flawed right now, because for the very first time in the world, with this World Wide Web and with just pure knowledge, you can access the greatest abundance our Maker, God, the great universe, the great spirit, has opened up to us. And so the rules are going to change. And for those that stick to the old industrial age ideas, I said, they're going to be brutalized. They're going to fall far behind. They'll be very comfortable with their beliefs, i.e. diversification, play it safe, and job security. Meanwhile, their friends are going to move forward, take great risk, and access one of the greatest capitalistic booms the world has ever known and will continue to progress into.
This is the end of Side 9. Please fast forward.